step into the light, one step away from night. It's the hardest step you're gonna take, the ship to take you there is waiting at the head of the stairs that lead up through your opened mind.
And welcome back. Welcome back. You are listening to Radio RMN, and I can hardly believe that we've done 2 hours, David. It just seems like it's been 10 minutes to me, anyway.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm interested, when I'm interested in a conversation, I lose track of all time. And of course, Einstein would say time is relatively in anyway. Okay.
Yeah.
One of the things. Let's get into ETs. The extraterrestrials. Well, not really that, but you know,
well,
there are so many.
If you'll forgive me, Ray,
let you go right ahead.
Forgive me. I was actually going to say something mainly to Sarah and the listeners. Okay, which brings in this particular situation of ETs.
Okay.
All right? Now, we all read many, many different stories regarding the prosperity programs, the global settlement funds, etc., etc., especially from people who claim they are connected to some yet unidentified and physically known about Galactic Federation or something similar.
Right.
Now, we have not been advised of any of this, okay? And, or any such incidences, and therefore we take the view that those persons prove their existence to us here on Earth before they start making promises. Then, in reality, which is the world we actually live in, they don't exist at this moment in time. And whatever they say is mere supposition.
You're talking about the Galactic Federation that has been promising, you know, peace and prosperity and money and food and jobs and paradise for everyone. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, not just the Galactic Federation. All these others who claim, you know, some connection to the outer reaches of space. Now, let me just say that logically, it is not possible for this planet to be the only planet which is inhabited within the seven universes. It's as simple as that. And there is, in my own opinion, certainly life on other planets of some form or another. Somewhere in maybe all seven universes, maybe just one universe, who knows. What I'm actually saying here, Ray, is it's like people say, I've seen a ghost. Well, I don't believe in that sort of thing unless a person stands in front of me. Now, they can appear in a misty form, in a shape. They can appear as a human being. They can appear as anything they want. But when they appear in front of me and speak to me, then I will believe it. It's as simple as that. Until then, you're actually saying, well, believe in what other people are saying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't believe in what other people are saying. And being a lawyer, just like David Crayford, when you present evidence in a court, a judge or a jury in a court looks at the real evidence. And we have yet to see with the Galactic Federation, with the people who claim they are connected to the outer reaches of the universes, etc., etc. We have actually yet to see one person not just stand in front of us, but stand in front of other people on the television, on the radio, in the newspapers, where they can actually prove their existence. Then we will actually believe it. Until then, you know, we have to remain skeptical because there is no what we would call substantial proof or proof beyond reasonable doubt. Now, that's different to our own personal views, which I've already expressed. Yes, it's illogical to even think that we're the only planet which is inhabited. And yes, there's got to be other planets somewhere in these seven master universes. Which ones they are, we don't know. But until then, the personal side must be set aside, and we must look at the real situation as we see it today. Okay?
Now, you talk about the seven universes. Where did you ever hear that? How do you know there's seven universes?
Well, it's a lot of it by website. Certainly, there's a lot of science papers about the sepsis and the various clusters of stars in those sepsis. You know, our own Milky Way, the star group Orion, Plough, the Bear, etc., etc. It's all there if you read it, Ray, and it takes time to read it, I will admit. And you have to probably go through quite a number of websites to get the whole gist of the subject. But as I said, you know, we are a business dealing in the world of reality. This is the reality that you, I, and everybody else live in today. And we have to deal with the problems of that reality by trying to resolve those problems. I'm not sure that people from another planet are going to come to this planet and resolve our problems for us, you know, unless they're getting paid for the job. Or are we looking at something, you know, hang on, we're doing this out of goodwill, we're doing this out of love? Or maybe so, because we also here in this office do many, many things out of goodwill and out of love for people. Okay, but it's a very delicate question, Ray, and it's one I don't really want to be involved in, only stretch the fact or stress the fact that in this world of reality that we, the people of this planet, have to live, then that is the reality that we must face and we must work with every single day of our lives until somebody proves something different. Okay?
And, you know, I certainly know that there... You know, we have flying saucers and we have airplanes that can go to the moon and things like this. And we've got so much technology, you know, the black technology that nobody knows about, that every single UFO sighting could be from the black technology. And also all of these grays and things like that. They've been cloning people and making different species, you know, since the 20s, the first clones came out. And so a lot of the things that people are seeing are Earth, you know, Wernher von Braun and his group probably created them. But
human-made.
Just one question following this. There are so many channels now. I mean, every other website that you see is a website that is created by somebody who is channeling these incredibly wonderful, beautiful, spiritually uplifting messages that everybody wants to read and hear. Having been used by Navy intelligence as a channel, you know, I laid all of this out in my book, Overgone Chronicles. And one of the reasons that I mentioned your seven universes is in Overgone Chronicles, it was said that the seven original sons of the original creator created their own universes. And that was why I was amazed when you said seven, because it matched what was said in Overgone. But I believe that most channels are receiving the information from the same technology that it was put into my head with, which is technology that other people can use to create a spiritual person. I mean, with Rajneesh, and the way Rajneesh would give the blessings, and everybody would feel it. Well, they had a machine that would actually, an electronic machine that would actually make people go into bliss. It wasn't him. And so, why? What's the purpose of all of these New Age channels?
I really don't know the purpose, Ray. I think what people have got to possibly look at is exercising their skepticism, okay? And probably taking the same attitude as us. You live in this world of reality on this planet Earth, and until they actually see somebody before them and talk to them and can prove they're from another planet or whatever, a lot of this must be considered as propaganda, human being propaganda. Now, I'm not saying all of it is propaganda, don't get me wrong. When you look at the UFO situation, it wasn't long ago that I actually looked at a video which was on YouTube with UFOs, and there was another one, I think, last week over Japan. Very, very interesting. Very strange movements, very fast movements, but also very slow movements, vertical movements. I really don't think that man has that capability at this moment in time. Yes, it's got a capability far greater than Boeing 747s or right. Airbuses, things like this. It is a capability that we as normal people have not yet been allowed to hear about or be told about. But when you look at some of these movements and some of the formations, one really has to say, well, there is a possibility. There is a possibility. And it's in one way, it's no different to the cornfield in Wiltshire and various other places in England with these patterns in the corn. Very intricate patterns. Scientists have examined these time and time again. Initially, it was said that it was man-made, and it was showing you how man did it. And then the patterns became more complex. And then they admitted, no, it could not have been man-made. So what or who actually made it? I think the significant point is Wiltshire in England. That's where most of them appear. That's where Glastonbury is. That is where Stonehenge is. That is the, let's say, central worshipping point for one of the sects in England. All right? So you've got to look at all of these factors and balance it up. Keep a completely open mind, but using your skepticism to do it. And not just believe anything that you read in the daily newspaper or even on the news. That's probably the worst thing you could read or watch. Yeah. You've got to read what other people have experienced, and the websites are very good at that because they are relaying that sort of information. But keep it open. Keep an open mind on the whole thing because, as I said, personally, I have no doubt whatsoever that other planets within these universes are in actual fact inhabited by a form of species in one way or the other. Whatever that form is, whether it's reptiles, whether it's humanoid, etc. So I just keep an open mind. But as I said, doing this job, we are working in the world of reality, and that's the world we have to work in, and that's the world we have to play in. And until proven otherwise, that is the world we will work in.
Well, David, thank you for explaining all of that in a straight and simple and forward manner, and especially thank you for finally making me understand what these collateral accounts are. But now may I go on to question number two? Can you believe 2 hours on the first question?
No, I can't believe it, but I have to believe it because it's real.
I know. Well, the second question comes from Jean-Pierre. which is, has the OITC any plans to utilize the collateral accounts to reduce or eliminate the substantial human trafficking that exists in our world? Oh, what a good question.
Very, very, very. Jean-Pierre, I must thank you for that question. And yes, I can say we have indeed proposals for reducing the amount of human trafficking and hopefully eliminating it altogether in time. However, Jean, I have to point out that this is a delicate subject and a dangerous issue, because a large percentage of all human trafficking is undertaken by criminal gangs like the Mafia. The way to resolve any issue regarding human trafficking is by isolating and eliminating the cause of the activities. Now, there's several causes for this, and we mustn't be blinded to the fact there is only one cause. No, there are many, many causes. And these criminals actually take advantage of the causes, which allows them to conduct their business. Now, if we take a look at just one of these factors, being poverty, we probably haven't got too much time to deal with other factors, so let's just look at poverty. Now, we notice this over this part of the world. Where you look at poverty, and I'll give you an example, mother or father, maybe two girls, maybe two sons, etc., etc. It's a situation where as the son or the daughter gets older, their culture forces them to go out to work and provide money to sustain the family, which means mother, father. It may even mean grandmother and grandfather. Now, when these girls or boys of 18 go looking for work over here, if they go into the factories, and I'm talking places like Thailand, like Philippines, Indonesia, they're lucky if they earn the equivalent of $100 a month. Now, $100 a month is not going to sustain a family of 3, 4, 5, 6, or even 7. And this creates a problem, because if it's the eldest girl who's involved, and you see this in the Philippines and certainly in Thailand, they actually go into the bars and the clubs, and basically they become prostitutes. It's not known as prostitution, because the bar owners and the club owners deal with it in a way that the client pays the bar what they call a bar fine, and then he takes the girl out, and that's it. What he does with the girl, what the girl agrees to do with him, is none of the business of the bar, and she gets extra money. And mm-hmm. that is the only way that she can actually earn enough money to sustain a family. And she, it's not even her own family, produced family. It's her family, it's her mother, it's her father, it's her younger sister or a younger brother. Maybe a grandfather and grandmother. This is one of the problems, because these girls and even young boys, they get caught up, they see adverts on the internet, in the papers, etc., for jobs abroad, paying X, paying Y, whatever it is, and they apply for those jobs thinking they're going to get a better job in the Arab states, in Europe, in America, in Japan, in Taiwan, in Korea, where the GDP is a lot higher, and they go to these countries, and unfortunately when they get there, they're told, oh sorry, that job's gone, but now you're going to have to work for us, cost us a lot of money to get you here, and now you're going to have to pay it back. So they take the passports, and the girls and even some of the young boys, they're forced into prostitution and bar work. And this is where you find the human trafficking. And it goes on throughout the world. And if you look, and I'm speaking from or relative to Thailand, if you look in Thailand, there are girls from the southern parts of Russia, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, beautiful blonde girls. They're all here. They're all plying for trade, walking down the Soviet road night after night, sitting at the bars, chatting up the men, and making lots of money. And these girls can walk away with anything between 30 and 40,000 baht a month, which is a lot different to the 5,000 baht that the Thai girl or the Thai boy would earn in a factory producing shirts or shoes, etc., etc. So you've got to look at the actual causes. You'll never solve the problem until you relate to all the causes. And one of the things that we like to do, yes, we can finance all of this, what we would call a big cleanup. We're up against the very big boys, the mafia, etc. But you've got to develop these developing and third world countries to a point where these girls, these young boys, can earn sufficient money without having to go into prostitution, without having to go abroad for a job, so that they can sustain the family. But at the same time, somehow, you've got to, I'm not going to say change the culture. That's probably the wrong word, but you have to educate these people that when a parent gets to 40, 45, he cannot or she cannot rely on the eldest daughter or the eldest son to bring the money in, and they can sit back and do nothing. In the West, we have to work till 63 in some places, 65 and 67 now before we get a pension. And I see many, many foreigners come here, 60, 65, even 70-year-olds. And they're actually from abroad, these are foreigners, and they're actually marrying these young girls, but they're actually paying money to support the mother and the father of the young girl, who is probably 20 years younger and far capable of doing some work to earn money, but they don't. So you've got to educate people that at 40, you're in your prime. You still can do work. You still can earn money. You must not rely on your eldest daughter or eldest son, and you must not put them in a position where they are forced into some form of prostitution, etc., wherever they are, whether it's in Thailand, whether it's in the Philippines, in Indonesia, in Cambodia, or whether it's in the West, or in the Arab state. You cannot push them into that position, which is what's happened. So you've got that cultural problem, which is a big problem to overcome. In addition to that, you've got this attitude, especially in the Arab states and in some of the more wealthier countries, South Korea, where the richer families, maybe the wife and the husband go out to work, and they employ maids. And the maids usually come from places like the Philippines, like Cambodia, like Indonesia. And the maids are mistreated. You'll find that the maids get raped, but they never say anything because they can't afford to lose the job. They're getting paid reasonable money. They're sending money back home. And the Philippines, $14 billion a year in foreign income just from their own nationals working abroad. That's a lot of money. So you've got to develop each of these countries, Philippines, or any country which is developing or a third world country, to a point where these eldest children do not have to revert to the bars or prostitution or jobs abroad to support their family. Then you can start re-educating the family from this old culture and bring them back into a world of, let's say, work and social activities. But again, once you bring them back in, you have to provide work for them. And yes, we can do all of this if these countries would allow us in. And we're prepared to do this. And it is a big problem. Poverty is a big problem. Human trafficking is a big problem. And one of the other problems, John, that you've got is, especially in Europe and America, with all the cuts in the government expenditure, which are being experienced over many, many years, the law enforcement agencies haven't got the resources or the manpower any longer to deal with this problem, or the problem of prostitution, human trafficking, in the way it has to be dealt with. And I don't know what the numbers are, but human trafficking is worth billions of dollars a year to the crooks. If you could put those billions of dollars into the law enforcement agencies, then I'm sure, yes, there would be a lot more done to stamp out this problem and bring these criminals to justice and put them in prison for as long as necessary. It is a master problem. And yes, I can say right now that the OITC, if a country came to us and say, look, we have this problem, we calculate it, we need X law enforcement officers, we need X number of dollars to do this, we need other offices, we need special training, we need employment, etc., etc. Whatever it takes, we have the assets, we have the money, we will do it to help the countries to stop all of this. But when countries themselves, especially the government, are encouraging this because they're not encouraging development, economic development, commercial development in their own country, you actually have to start looking at not changing the government, but making sure the advice that the government get is the correct advice so that they can resolve these problems. And you have to work along a particular route and stick to that route, unless it proves a little bit inefficient or ineffective. Then you have to change it slightly, but you must, to get the problem resolved, you must have the government with you all the time. You have no other option, because most law enforcement agencies are all interconnected and financed by the government. Okay.
And our governments are controlled by the evil monsters that are running the world right at the moment. And
absolutely,
running all the banks and the United Nations.
Yeah.
You know, I look at the food, and of course, you know, the food prices are going up. You know, we buy all the food from India and Mexico, and we buy it so cheaply that those people don't even have enough money. I mean, they're growing all this food to send to us, and they don't even have enough money to put food on the table for their families.
That's,
you know,
correct.
I don't want to pay more higher prices for food. I can barely afford to buy food myself right at the moment, and so I'm getting ready to plant a garden, so at least I'm going to have fresh vegetables soon. But
yeah,
what can be done about food? And it's like the Rothschilds are wanting to take over and control food, and we'll get back to food on the other side of the break. I'm talking with David Sale of the OITC, and you're listening to Radio RMN on the Micro Effect. And go over to TalkStreamLive.com and give a vote for Raylan's Radio RMN, and we'll be back.
You saved my life.
Evidence, Johnson. Even raccoons respect the authority of a man with good nutrition. That's me. Now, what's going on here?
Well, he started it, sir. I was trying to clean his fish, and he tried to take it from me.
Yeah, well, you must have looked a little wimpy.
Sir, I'm hungry.
Johnson, if you'd have brought your own supply of freeze-dried food from the freeze-dry guy, like I told you, you wouldn't have to be out here picking on the cute little animals.
Oh, I'd give anything for a big chunk of protein right now.
Johnson, don't salivate. It's unbecoming a Marine.
I'm sorry, sir. I should have called the freeze-dry guy.
Bugs you, Donut Johnson. You're suffering your MREs, and I'm enjoying chicken a la king and lasagna and bacon and eggs for breakfast.
Sir, shut up.
Johnson?
Sorry, sir.
Get your own supply of the best long-term storage food available. call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com.
You want to know something? I love my job. People calling into Life Change Tea saying, I love the tea. I just love the tea. I love the way it makes me feel. Love is a powerful word. But for some of you, you can't love the tea if you never tried it. It is my job to encourage new people to try Life Change Tea. So what could I tell you? Love is a beautiful thing. I could tell you this. I personally drink Life Change Tea every day. I love it. Anyway, if you want to order your tea, call us. 928-308-0408. Again, 928-308-0408. Or you can read up on our many products and order online. Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Life Change Tea, spreading a little love for health.
Do you believe in positive health? If you do, and who doesn't, then you need Sportron products to be healthier. Sportron has products to improve quality of life for every consumer. Our research and development is one of a kind. Sportron's proprietary Food Matrix Whole Food Organic Concentrate is delivered to the cells with Nobel Prize-winning technology. Your body recognizes and absorbs our products all in the right amount. Over 90% of vitamins are synthetic and unrecognizable by the body with poor absorption rates. Our lead product, Viva, supports overall health, and it has received the highest grades possible for its antioxidant power in fighting free radicals in one system. Sportron has world-class doctors and scientists that have formulated over 30 products that are whole food organic concentrate. These products help people function properly.
For more information or to order Sportron products, call 440-536-3066. That's 440-536-3066.
Do you want youthful, soft, and supple skin? Then you need Helena Whole Body Anti-Aging Skin Rejuvenator. Damaged, irritated, and dry skin left unchecked can lead to premature aging with associated age spots, wrinkles, and lifeless-looking skin. Loaded with 18 tonic herbs, the natural oils, and anti-aging ingredients in Helena Whole Body Anti-Aging Skin Rejuvenator promote soft, smooth, and more youthful-looking skin while protecting it from environmental toxins, stress, and damaging elements. Protect the largest organ of your body, your skin. Try Helena at www.rumormillnews.lifequestworld.com or call 1-800-528-6642.
One step into the light, one step away from night. It's the hardest step you're gonna take. The ship to take you there is waiting at the head of the stairs that lead up through your opened mind. Above the dark despair.
And welcome back. We are on the last half hour of Radio RMN. Today, my guest is David Sale. And, I can't believe that that 2.5 hours have already gone by. I was talking about food, and right. I don't have any money. I know you guys don't have any money either. It's like nobody has any money. I mean, you and David Crayford personally are not being paid by OITC at the moment, and
correct.
my widow's pension from the VA is not a whole heck of a lot of money. It's $1,100, and so it doesn't go very far in this world. And food is the one thing, that's the only way that we can cut down our expenses. And so you cut down your expenses, you're eating crap food, you're not feeling very well, and they want to make it illegal for us to grow backyard gardens. And so... Yeah. What is this with the Rothschilds buying up all the food producing land around the world? Control food, control people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big problem, Ray, and I can see why people are complaining, but let's try and break it down a little bit. If you look at the price of 5 kilograms of rice, reasonable quality rice, let's say in Thailand or the Philippines, you'll be paying the equivalent of $3.50. Now, I don't know what the same rice would cost in America, 5 kilos, but probably an awful lot more. So the question is, who's making the profit? Because the farmer is making very little on his rice. Right. 5 kilos, it has to be packed, it has to go into storage and dry in, etc., etc. The farmer only grows it. There's mechanisms in the middle, which is adding onto the cost. But there's a bigger cost factor added to the, what we call the intermediaries. Now, that cost factor somehow has to be eliminated. There's no need for intermediaries. And I'm talking probably approaching 100% markup just by the intermediaries before it even gets to the importer and then into the supermarket on the shelves ready for the consumer. It's a disgraceful business. It appears that middlemen are making far more money than the actual people working for a living and working damned hard in the rice field, I can tell you. And it's not good, but it's not just rice, it's other things as well. If you take a horticultural outlet or specialist in the UK, when we joined the common market, they started moving their holdings out to Spain and Portugal because labor was cheaper. And Spain and Portugal had relationships with places like Algeria and Morocco for importing labor cheap. And they used to put them in caravans actually on the site. And these people would work 12, 14 hours a day, 7 days a week, for what we in the West would call peanuts. But to them it was a lot of money, because in their own country they couldn't earn that sort of money. So we have an imbalance, complete imbalance on the food system. Now whether Rothschild have recognized they are buying up all the necessary land to create a monopoly, that's what it appears, and anyhow, but for the law to actually ban you from growing vegetables in your own garden, on your own land, is, in my view, against the Civil Liberties Act of the United Nations. If you want to grow vegetables, I think you should be allowed to, because it would certainly help any country's import bill to start with, and it would reduce the cost of food. But in the West, again, we have our own selves to blame. And there's a program, it's run by an Australian TV company, but they introduce young British people into situation. It's on the television, and I've watched it a couple of times. They take people out of Britain, young people, 23, 25, and they place them into countries like India, Bangladesh, Thailand even, Philippines, and place them into the production areas like the factories producing clothes, like the rice fields producing the rice and various other things. And the comments coming back from these young Westerners out of the UK is basically, how do they tolerate this? We wouldn't do it back in England. We wouldn't do it back in America or wherever. How do they tolerate it? They work 7 days a week. They work hard. They can't leave work until they finish the day's work, no matter what the time, even if they have to work through the night. And at the end of the day or the end of the week, they've only got enough money just about to feed their family 2 meals a day. And all that is imported into the West. Now, we in the West have ourselves to blame. We want to work less hours. We want to earn more money. We want more leisure time. Many of them don't want to grow vegetables in their garden. They'd rather have a nice piece of lawn and a few flower beds. And we have to start realizing in the West, or not just in the West, but Westerners in general, that we cannot sustain that quality of life because it is affecting other people throughout the rest of the world, especially in the third world and developing countries. And if you look at all the surveys done, Ray, over many, many years, in the West, people on average, and I'm talking generalities, spend more on the luxuries of life than what they do on food every year. Now, we like to buy big SUVs, six-cylinder SUVs, flat-screen televisions. We like to have the latest mobile phone when it comes out at whatever it is, £300, £200 in the UK. We like all these luxuries. We like to have the modern quilts on the bed. We like to have carpets on the floor. We like to have a nice tarmac drive. And we like this and we like that. And we actually spend far more money on luxuries than we do on food. And what we spend on food, a lot of it comes from other countries in the Far East, in Africa, and various other places. And these people are living on the poverty or poverty line. Now, we have to, as Westerners, and I'm covering all Westerners, no matter where they live, we have to, as Westerners, start to change our priorities. I'm not saying we've got to go back to the 30s and the 40s and forget the lawns and have everything as vegetable patches. No, there's no need for that. But we have to start saying, well, rather than a six-cylinder car, we'll go down to a four-cylinder car. We don't need an SUV. We'll have an estate car, or we'll have a car with a decent-sized boot. We don't need a new television. The old one is good enough. It hasn't broken down. It's only 12 months old, so it can stay for another 2 years. We don't need a new mobile phone. I only bought this one 12 months ago, and it still works perfectly. Why do I need a new mobile phone? We don't need a new computer. We don't need this. We don't need what we do need is food, because without food, we can't live. Without water, we can't live as human beings. We can live naked. We don't need clothes. Not many of us would enjoy that, but we can live naked, but we cannot live without food and water. But we treat it very, very low in the list of priorities. What comes at the top are our luxuries in life, which gives other people the regime of poverty or close to poverty. And that really has to change one way or the other. Okay, Ray, sorry.
Well, gosh, you, in other words, you know, so many Americans do not want to lower their lifestyle at all. Well, this particular president that we've got right now has lowered all of our lifestyles, you know, to the point that I, you know, I'm over 60 now, and the last time I remember in my lifetime worrying about money is back in the 50s, right after World War II, when we were going through that really bad recession, almost a mini depression that we were going through. And most of us, you know, for the last 50, 60 years have been, you know, we've literally had all of the money that we needed, and all we had to do was go out and work, and not even work that hard to get it. And so I look at what Barack Obama has done, and he's almost made us a third world country overnight. And so I'm wondering, did he do this on purpose? Or, I mean, if we're brought down and we're not consuming as much, is that going to help the rest of the planet?
Not really. Let's look at President Obama. what people tend to forget, and we all have short memories at times, Obama actually inherited a very bad situation. It hasn't got much better since he's taken over, but he had very few choices, okay? Now, I'm not supporting him, I'm not supporting anybody, because I just will not be involved in politics. But I have noticed how people blame Obama, Obama, Obama all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's because we have short memories. You've got to go back to 2000 and even further back than that, because that's when the problems started. Obama only inherited them. But one of the problems, Ray, and it's, you brought it up in your topic there, the money in your pocket is actually now bias, and that's why, along with inflation and everything else, everybody's feeling the pinch.
Okay, also, David, you cut out for a little bit, and right. I don't think anybody heard what you said. You said the money in your pocket was
okay. Okay, money in your pocket effectively now is buying far, far less than what it did 10, 15, 20 years ago. Now, that is because of inflation, but not only inflation. Your government, just like the UK government, just like the German government, are actually taking more and more and more from your wage packet in taxes. So link that extra taken in taxes with inflation and the fact that you are importing goods where the middleman is making an awful lot of money, and you're actually finding your money is not stretching as far as it did 10 to 15 years ago. Now, that, in our opinion, has to change, because it is driving more and more people throughout the world into the poverty regime. And if you look back just 10 years, the amount of people on or within the poverty regime was around about 1.4 billion people. Today, it's over 2 billion people.
Wow.
Now, that should never, ever happen. And we in the OI have a plan, and it's a very good one, I think it's a very good one, where the governments of the world will have a budget as normal. It will be monetized. The FEC, again through the trading system, will provide the government with the money that they need. Now, that is not money to build up their little government empires or to build up their military strength. That will be money to run the country, to build the schools, to build the infrastructure, etc., etc., and to manage the country as they are supposed to do. Now, at the same time, it means that the government doesn't have to tax the people. And we have forecast that once we can introduce this in each and every country, the tax that a person pays will be reduced by so much over each year. So at the 15-year period, you probably will only be paying around 5 to 7.5% of your salary earned at tax. And ultimately, that should disappear in anyhow, totally. Because we will be providing the governments that they everything that they need financially to be able to do what they are doing. But we will not promote empire building. We will not promote military builder of any description. A government is there representing its people. And we will promote that, and that's what they must do. And they must keep the costs of that representing people down to a reasonable limit where the people are getting good service and they know their money is not being wasted. And the government will not be allowed to borrow from the commercial markets. All right, which in itself, as we've seen with Greece, Portugal, Ireland, Iceland and everybody else who's in trouble in Europe has created so many problems because it built up debt. Debt that the people of the country have to pay. But not just the people, but the next generation of people and the generation after that. Okay.
I mean, we saw it clearly in Mexico when one of the Mexican presidents, you know, stole $50 million or billion dollars. Who knows how much he stole? And then suddenly the little farms in Mexico, people couldn't afford to live on them anymore. And so, you know, it created a real poverty there. And that's what I'm seeing that is being created here in this country. And my God, if what you can do can stop that from being, you know, from Mexicanizing the world.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
David, we've got so many problems. We've got all the radiation coming from the Fukushima plant. It's all the way around the world. We've got the depleted uranium that is destroying Iraq. We've got this horrendous weather. I mean, it looks, if you're looking at the Mississippi River right at the moment, it looks like the Great Divide has already taken place, and there's actually two Americas now. And these disasters, are they natural? Are they man-made? How are we going to survive all of that until you guys get in power? And you have 7 minutes to answer that all in.
Right, okay. Well, as for survival, I don't think we're going to survive it, my own personal opinion. I think the whole situation is going to get worse, right? And we basically, as human beings, and I'm talking all of us now, we'll have to accommodate it one way or the other.
When you say survive it, do you mean survive it as a planet?
Survive it as a planet. We, if these disasters happen, whether they happen by man-made means or natural means, it's not really relevant because they will happen. We as human beings have to start realizing we cannot treat this planet the way we treat everything else and the way we treat other people. We must show respect for this planet. We're taking too much out of it. We're putting too much poison back into it. We're treating people with disrespect. You know, even in London, you don't even know your own neighbor. You can come out of the front door at the same time. You don't even say good morning or good afternoon or whatever. You know, there's that isolation factor. We need, as humans, to be closer to each other, to work together towards a common factor, and that is enhancing our lives. And when I say our, I mean our, meaning everybody, from the rice farmer in Thailand to the shirt makers in India to the girls who try and work in the clubs in the Philippines and so on. We must try and make our lives more stable, more satisfactory, more enjoyable, but at the same time more reasonable and balanced than what we have at this moment. How we do it, it can be done. Now, I'm not joking when I say that, but it can be done, Ray. But the problem, if you go back to what I've just said about we will finance the governments, so any country will be financed through the OI, that means the governments, they will take the view they're going to be controlled. Yes, to a point, because we don't want to see responsible governments just borrowing money all over the place and building up debt for the country. There's no need for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it will reduce the power of the governments. And that is one reason why we find difficulty in government, especially in the West, who don't want us in, who will deny us, who will ignore us, okay? It's a very delicate situation because they're not realizing, they're looking at one side of the coin, but they're not realizing that ultimately they gain as much strength as what they've got now by just twisting things around and doing things differently. but they can't see it. They really can't see it. And we would love to use all these assets.
Okay? David, we've got about 1 minute left, and I just want to be sure that you
we
didn't...
We really have.
Yeah. Did you misspeak when you said the Earth is not going to make it? And why in the world, if you think the Earth isn't going to make it, why should you even tell people about OITC? Because it's not going to mean anything. We're not going to be here.
We will be here, right? In one of that. No, there's... What I was getting at there was the fact that we as humans have abused not only ourselves, we've abused other human beings, we've abused this planet in one way or another. We have created a situation, we've taken too much out of the Earth's surface, we're taking oil, vast amounts of oil, and oil, the amount of oil used or extracted and used from the Earth's surface or from the Earth's crust, it is proportionate to the increase in population and road traffic, believe it or not.
Oh, gosh, so, and David, we're going to have to answer all of this and take up...
You've got to look at all these things.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being my guest here on Radio RMN. And we're going to have you back as soon as possible because I didn't even get through half the questions today. Wow.
Well, it's no problem. Ray, it is a very complex issue. There's a lot of other things which surround it. I will come back. We'll go through it. And I can only thank you and the listeners.
And thank you so much. And listeners, be with me Friday. I've got a guest you're going to love. So I will see you on Friday. Or not Friday, Thursday. Bye-bye, David. Thank you for being here.
Bye, Ray.